Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, it's been a while, first of all.
Yes.
Yeah, we've kind of sucked at getting the podcast up lately.
We have. Yeah. I blame, there used to be this thing called fucking February.
Yeah.
And
we can't use that excuse now, though.
No, but it's March now. But, you know, all through February, it was sucking.
Motherfucking March.
Well, no, now it's March. We're going to do good.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to think of an excuse for the first week here. Anyway, last time we did an episode though was second Maccabees, mm-hmm. chapter 7.
Sure as fuck was.
And in that chapter, mm-hmm. It was terrible.
It was
fucking terrible. It was seven brothers.
For seven brides?
No, they got tortured and fucking fried in frying pans. And
it was so bad.
And they all chose to do it because instead of choosing not to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, pork and stuff.
Yeah.
And apparently they're God. And I'm like, nope, I'm not frying in no fucking frying pan. Sorry.
I just have such a hard time with that. Like, I have a friend who is Muslim. And I thought if I asked him about this story, what would his response be like? And then I thought how mean it would be to ask him, like, would you eat pork if it meant watching.
Right.
But then I thought, why would I want to ask him that and put him in the position of having to say that? No, but
obviously the story is like set up to be a show of how virtuous and how godly these people are, right? They're willing to fry in a fucking frying pan, get their tongues pulled out and all the other shit.
Yeah.
And
are you?
Right. I mean, that's the message, right?
And like, that's why I didn't want to ask him, because I was like, I didn't feel like it was a fair, like, I felt bad asking.
I don't feel like it's a fair question to ask. I don't think you know that answer until you're in the moment seeing that shit happen. Like,
to somebody that you care about, your family member, watching them get flayed and be like, okay, all you have to do is, you know, eat this piece of bacon.
I'm going to state this here and now that me not giving a shit about God and not believing in God, obviously it's easy for me to say, I'm not going to eat the fucking pork and I'm not going to fry in the frying pan. But some people have very, you know, strong faith.
And
so.
I was trying to think, is there something equivalent? Like, this has really been plaguing me since that last episode. Is there something equivalent where if they said, if you don't do this, we're flaying your, you know, siblings, spouse, kids, something.
I think it would have to be or somebody that I care about is being hurt type thing. Right. It would definitely not revolve around a God or something like that.
And then it's like, okay, you know, would you eat a bug? Well, of course I would. Would you stick your hand in a box of snakes? I mean, not happily, but I would.
Would you put on a MAGA cap?
I mean, I would if you're going to torture and peel the skin my child.
I would too.
Course I would. That's easy.
No, I meant if it was between you putting on a MAGA hat or dying.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to die. I'll sell my soul. Shit, I don't give a fuck. I don't have to do it happily. You didn't tell me I had to do it happily enthusiastically.
Yeah.
I don't have an equivalent.
I think that that's what that chapter made me think about. Where's that line for the rest of us, right? Where's that line for everybody else? And just like it kind of, because, you know, we've dealt with things in history where we've had people like go on suicide missions for their gods or whatever.
What is that other term for people that fly into buildings?
I don't know. I thought it was kamikazes.
I don't know.
But whatever.
The people that are willing to die for their faith.
Martyrs.
I mean, they're willing to martyr themselves
yeah,
for their faith.
Yeah, exactly. And I've never understood that.
I don't have that.
But, you know, obviously it's a thing.
I don't have that. I don't even have that, like, in a vengeance way. Like, again, this is easy for me to say, but let's say that there was somebody or a country even that, like, murdered somebody that I love.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had the opportunity to, like, hop into a plane and, like, fly into the building of the murderer or something. Like, for vengeance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even sure.
I don't think I would.
I don't even have that. I don't have.
Seems kind of pointless at that point, you know?
Right? So. Like, no, vengeance is a dish served cold, and joy is the best vengeance. Living a happy life is the best revenge.
Yeah. Moreover, I think a God that makes you go through that to show how much you love that God is kind of terrible.
That's a terrible God.
Anyway, that was 2 Maccabees chapter 7.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're getting into
2 Maccadoodles chapter 8.
All right. You ready to do this?
Okie dokie.
Let's do it.
Okie dokie.
There we go.
There we go. All right. Right, we are hopping into 2 Maccadoodles chapter 8.
All right.
But Judas. You know, Judas.
Yeah, you know.
Maccabeus. Who is also called Maccabeus.
Okay.
And those who were with him making their way secretly into the villages, calling together their kindred.
Okay. They're raising a rebellion here, huh?
Get up, get down. Get up, get out.
This is after Antiochus killed the people in the cave and, you know, fried people up and stuff. So, I mean, things are starting to look pretty bad.
So they're like, maybe we do fight on Sundays.
Yeah, right.
Enlisting those who had continued in the Jews' religion, they gathered together about 6,000.
Okay.
They called upon the Lord to look at the people who were oppressed by all and to have compassion on the sanctuary that had been profaned by the ungodly men.
Yeah.
And to have pity on the city. Sorry. Have pity on the city. Don't pity the fool, pity the city. That was suffering ruin and ready to be leveled to the ground and to listen to the blood that cried out to him and to remember the lawless destruction of the innocent infants. Say that five times.
The innocent infants. I can't. Nope.
And concerning the blasphemies that had been committed against his name and to show his hatred of wickedness.
Okay.
Because, you know, God does love to hate.
That's what I've always learned. Yeah.
Hate it.
Hatred's right up there with
that. Oh, I hate
with
it.
With that love shit and all that.
I love love, but man, I hate.
It's much more fun to hate, you know? That's what I've learned.
Much easier.
At least in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I started off thinking that everybody loved everybody and, like, we all got along, you know, thing. And then as I've gotten older, I realized that everybody likes to actually hate everybody.
Because if it bleeds, it leads.
Well, yeah.
And clickbait and click rage and, you know, rage.
All the things.
Yeah. Like, it's much easier to motivate people to act on anger than joy and love.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Pity on the city. That ain't pretty.
That pity on the city.
Nope.
And those innocent infants.
It's kind of shitty. Yep. When Maccabeus had trained his men for service.
What a pity.
The heathen at once found. You can't say pity when it's pity on the city.
I know. I fucked that up.
You can't rhyme.
But you could have just let me have that and just, like, right along. You know?
I could have, but then people would be saying it.
They would.
And I want them to know.
They'd be like, "Oh, that husband, he's so stupid."
And now, like, I don't want them to think that. Like, I'm not going down with you. I will absolutely shove you under the bacon bus. Yeah. When Maccabeus had trained his men for service, the heathen at once found him irresistible, for the wrath of the Lord was turning into mercy.
Wait.
I'm going to read that again because I didn't follow that at all.
What did the heathen do to him?
When Maccabeus had trained his men for service, the heathen at once found him irresistible. For the wrath of the Lord was turning into mercy.
Oh, they're like, the heathens are going, damn, look, the Lord's helping, even though they're heathens.
Oh.
Like, the Lord's helping them. So, like, I like you now, dude. You're cool.
That's the way heathens are. Heathens.
They just switch on a dime,
either,
you know?
They either believe in a different God or no God. And if you believe in a different God, you definitely just change willy-nilly to a different one.
Right, especially, well, I mean...
And if you don't believe in God, suddenly you're like, oh, man, this guy's winning. I believe in God now.
I will say, somebody walking down the street with 6,000 troops with them,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's much the same as going to the frying pan. I'm going to be like,
I believe.
Yeah, we're cool, man. But you know, I'm good with you.
But I'm not going to find him irresistible. I'm going to find living irresistible.
I'm going to placate you, dude.
Because
I don't want to die.
Yeah.
Still.
You know what I find irresistible? My next breath.
Not dying.
Yeah. Coming without warning. That's the best way to come. Just out of the blue.
I was taking a fucking drink and I heard you read that line. And I'm like, oh my God, wife is going to go off about this a little bit.
Because coming without warning, I mean... You know,
I was like, why did that have to be in there? That could have not been in there.
I mean, just like, you're just sitting there and then all of a sudden you're like, like, is that what it means? Or like, like there's no O face. There's no like, there's no lead up, right? There's just, you're just like laying there and, you know, doing Pound Town and stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, and done. Yeah. Like, that's coming without warning. Appreciate your services and goodbye.
Yeah.
I say to you, good day. Get out. Okay, so coming without warning.
Yes, yes.
He set fires to cities and villages.
But not the rain.
But not the rain. I was going to say that if you didn't. But he did set fire to cities and villages, and he did not pity the city.
If they're in Jerusalem, which cities and stuff is he setting fire to?
Who even fucking
knows? Or is it like just like sections of the city?
The city.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
multiple cities.
Oh, the city. Okay.
To cities and villages. So he's taking his 6,000
and he's touring. He's
all kinds of fires to all cities and villages.
Got it. They got a t-shirt and everything with all the cities are hidden.
That's how MAGA do. Wait, what? And in winning back the most important positions... Putting to flight no small number of the enemies, he especially took advantage of the knights for such assaults. His courage was loudly talked of everywhere. Yeah. Look at that guy! He's got so much fucking courage, man!
Yeah.
That's how they talk then, about him so loud.
Gods with him and stuff.
I find him irresistible! How about you, husband?
That heathen over there? He's totally fine. He thinks he's sexy. I mean,
I'm too sexy for this city. But when Philip saw the man gaining ground little by little and increasing more and more in his success, he wrote to Ptolemy, the governor of Coelesyria and Phoenicia, that he should support the king's cause. Dear Egypt, perhaps you should support the king's cause. Mm. Love me.
Yeah, Philip. This guy over here, he's getting a bit too powerful.
Ptolemy quickly appointed Nicanor, the son of Patroclus, one of the king's chief friends, and sent him in command of no fewer than 20,000 of all nations.
It's a lot more than 6,000.
It's a lot more. To destroy the whole race of Judea.
Damn.
That's what we call a genocide, friends. When you set out to destroy the whole race of fill in the blank.
Right.
Like, that is... not okay.
Correct.
Even if they are acting like fucking Klingons or whatever. Like, I don't know.
And I can't have that said without pointing out what's happening today a little bit. Because, you know, Israel's kind of switched the script a bit.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to leave it at that for now because, you know.
I mean, the United States blew up a little girl's school.
Yeah.
And then was like, what are you even doing when Iran was like, hey, I'm going to go now bomb all of your bases nearby in all these various countries. And we're like, what are you even doing? How do you dare? Like, how do you think?
Look, I don't think that the people that were in charge of Iran are good people.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination, but there was, my opinion, better ways to handle this.
Don't make me defend Iran, fuckers.
Right.
Don't Don't put me in that shitty position. That's like if my fucking ex that I divorced with malice, that's like if he gets kidnapped and somebody's like chopping off his fingers, and I'm like, don't make me defend my ex. Stop cutting off his fingers. I don't like him, but I don't want you to chop off his fucking fingers. God. Right. Don't make me defend yuckiness, please.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
And free Palestine, even though that's a different conversation. But is it really? I don't know. I feel like if it's all one conversation.
Yeah.
It's all part of the United States and Israel in bed together, and it's gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right. Blah, blah, blah. Destroy the whole race of Judea. With him, he joined Gorgias. Or Gorgias.
Gorgias.
I like Gorgias. Like, I like pretending it's
sure,
French.
Yeah, right.
That didn't exist back then yet, you know. Gorgias. With him, he joined Gorgias, also a captain and one who had experience in matters of war.
Mm.
I would say at this point, we all have experience in matters of war because we watch people get blowed up on TV.
Mm.
Not the same?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
No. Okay. So it's almost like we don't have experience in matters of war. Okay. Okay. Nicanor resolved by the sale of the captive Jews to, you know, the way you sell people,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he got him money, so that helped resolve him, maybe, because he was richer.
I mean, I
don't know.
He was excited. He's like, I'm resolved to the notion of selling the captive Jews.
Right.
To make up for the king the tribute of 2,000 talents, which he was to pay to the Romans.
Hmm.
Remember, this was but all it about is a, it taxes was a fundraising and tributes. Thing. Yeah, yeah. The way it is right now today still.
Right.
Fundraising.
Yeah.
For Trump, you know?
Sure.
For his gold toilets.
I don't think he's not selling slaves, though.
No. So.
Not directly.
Well, I mean, there was questions about the sex slave trade.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, alleged stuff. So, but whatever.
Okay. I'm sure. Sure. Let's not get sued. Yes.
Allegedly,
our president was involved in selling young girls, allegedly. And allegedly, he was fucking them and eating their babies, allegedly. And allegedly, he's gross, but factually, he's orange and stupid. That's a fact. And also, factually, he is a convicted felon.
True.
Factual. Okay. Also, I think he probably has a stinky butt.
I've heard rumors about that, yeah.
Well, I asked this last time, and you and Kid were like, I don't want to think about that. But my question I posed to y'all really was, do you think he can actually wipe his own butt? Like, at his age and lack of agility, I think that he might not be able to wipe his own butt.
Could be.
And could you imagine being the person that he hired to wipe his butt?
Well, no.
So, no,
couldn't pay me enough.
So I think that he probably has a stinky duty.
Right.
I think that he probably smells like poo-poo.
Probably.
And that's gross.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Immediately, he set to the cities upon... Wait. He sent... Sorry, he didn't set. He sent to the cities upon the sea coast. Sea coast. Inviting them to buy Jewish slaves, promising to deliver 70 slaves for a talent, not expecting the judgment that was to overtake him from the Almighty.
Mm.
So he's like, this is like foreshadowing. This is like, oh my gosh, can you even believe that guy was like, I'm about to sell me some fucking slaves.
Right.
And he did not have a clue what was coming.
Right. Well, I mean, why would you know that a fictitious god is going to come and destroy you?
I often don't know what is coming
from fictitious gods
or otherwise, because as that previous sentence said, what did it say?
I don't know.
Hold on.
I don't know which previous instance.
Coming without warning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one.
Right.
You know? God often comes without warning.
He sure does.
All over us.
Yeah, right.
Okay. News came to Judas concerning Nicanor's invasion. When he communicated to those who were with him the presence of the army, those who were cowardly and distrustful of God's judgment ran away and left the country. Mm. I will admit here and now, I am cowardly and distrustful of God's judgment, and I would run away.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't run fast because I don't have good running abilities.
Sure, sure.
But I would run.
Right.
Others sold all that they had left and at the same time implore the Lord, pity on the city.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Yeah. This is a good chapter
for rhymings. I don't think it was on purpose because it had to be translated.
So, no, I know, but it feels good in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know? Others sold. I made you laugh and that made me laugh. All that they had left and at the same time implored the Lord to deliver those who had been sold as slaves by the impious Nicanor. Impious.
Wow.
Impious? I bet it's impious, but I do like impious. Because it sounds like you are
It's definitely impious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do like impious, though, because, like, you're such an imp. The impious Nicanor, before he had ever met them, if not for their own sakes, then for the covenants made with their ancestors, and because he had called them by his holy and glorious name.
Okay.
I don't know what just happened, but I don't want to read it again. So I'm going to just keep going. Just keep going.
Right.
That's what the Q&A is for. So Maccabeus gathered his men together, 6,000 in number. 6,000 as compared to the 20 that's coming.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. 20,000 is way more than 6,000. Yeah.
And exhorted them not to be frightened by the enemy, nor to fear the great multitude of the heathen who came wrongfully against them. I always be coming wrongfully and unexpected.
Right.
But to fight nobly, setting before their eyes the outrage that had been lawlessly perpetrated upon the holy place. And the torture of the city that had been turned to mockery. And further, the overthrow of the way of life received from their ancestors. Mm. So he's just out there speeching.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, you six. We can totally beat them 20.
Right. It's like Braveheart.
Yeah. You know? So. He's waving his balls under his skirt at us. Yeah. We're quoting now, okay?
Yeah.
For they, he said, trust their weapons and daring deeds, but we trust in the Almighty God, since he is able at a nod to cast down those who are coming against us and even the whole world. I mean, he doesn't, but he could.
Right.
He totally fucking could.
Question, could you do it before we have to go fight them?
Like, that would be handy. I would so not want to die. Remember how I was talking about how I find irresistible my next breath?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moreover, he recounted to them the help given from time to time in the days of their ancestors, both in the days of Sennacherib, when 185,000 perished, and in the land of Babylon. Ooh, we going back a ways.
Yeah.
In the battle that was fought against the Gauls.
So they're like, hey, guys, like once every few hundred years or so,
we're due.
This God guy kills everybody for us.
We are due for a win, y'all.
Let's just go out
there. This could be the one.
Let's go get this because he might help.
It could happen.
If y'all are on board, if any of you are throwing bones or something or carrying any idols, then we're fucked.
And it's your fault.
Just so you know.
Yep. This is all on you.
Yeah.
Each of you.
Right.
Yeah. How they came to the battle with 8,000 in all, with 4,000 Macedonians, and how the Macedonians, being hard pressed, the 6,000 destroyed the 120,000 because of the help which they had from heaven, and took a great deal of plunder.
Wait, was this some other fight, or is this the fight? This is some other fight they're
recounting. Some other fight. Okay. He's talking about. He's naming off all these fights.
Right. I was like, that's a lot of numbers that they threw out. I didn't follow all that exactly.
No, he's like, remember that time when God interceded on behalf?
So we're still talking about God's intercessions here.
Yeah.
Okay. It
totally could be us. We're due for a good win, y'all. God hasn't come down in a few centuries. This could be the one.
Yeah.
And when he had, with these words, filled them with courage, and they're all waving their balls at each other. They're so excited. Right. And made them ready to die for the laws and their country. He divided his army into four parts.
Mm.
He appointed his brothers, Simon, Joseph, and Jonathan, to be leaders of the divisions with him.
Remember this from the first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Giving each the command of 1,500 men.
Okay.
Moreover, Eleazar also, having read aloud the sacred book and having given as watchword, all capitals, the help of God, leading the first band himself, joined battle with Nicanor.
Okay.
I don't know why that was all caps, but it was.
Right,
that was very exciting.
Yeah.
Since the Almighty fought on their side, see? I told you they were due for a God.
Yeah, apparently they're... Yeah. They didn't say that in the first book.
No.
Even though we covered this.
But 2 Maccabees is all about the God.
Yeah.
Intercession stuff.
No, I know. Right.
Yeah. The golden pony boy.
Sure.
You know?
No, I feel like this is like a... It's one of those things you might mention, even in recounting.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Like, remember that one time when we saw magic happen?
Yeah.
It was really big, y'all, because magic doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
But... It did that one time.
Right.
Like, that would be a day that you record in history.
Definitely would stand out.
Yeah. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. Since the Almighty fought on their side, they killed more than 9,000 of the enemy and wounded and disabled most of Nicanor's army and compelled them all to flee. God. They took the money of those who had come there to buy them as slaves. I mean, you got to loot the dead, you know, take their rings and plunder
not
their
doing
booties
any good in their pocket.
Yeah.
So
after they had pursued them for some distance, they returned, being constrained by the time of day, for it was the day before the Sabbath.
Ooh. Wait, they're still. They told us they were fighting on the Sabbath,
and for this reason, they made no effort to chase them far.
That was stupid.
When they had gathered the weapons of the enemy together and had stripped off their spoils, they kept the Sabbath, greatly blessing and thanking the Lord who had saved them to this day, because he had begun to show mercy to them. After the Sabbath, when they had given some of the spoils to the maimed and to the widows and orphans,
that was nice.
They distributed the rest among themselves and their children.
Okay.
That was nice of them, I guess.
I distinctly remember from the first Maccabees that they gave up worrying about fighting on the Sabbath after the people in the cave died.
Yeah.
And we're still, now we're in this book, now we're holding to.
Because it's God-ish.
Right.
Because we're back to so God, like, is great.
I call bullshit.
We only did it that one time so we wouldn't die, and then we went right back to following the rules. Because God is helping us real hard.
Sure.
And he didn't hold it against us that we didn't hold that Sabbath, even though he does hold it against us if we eat pork.
Yeah. Big time.
I'm apparently so sorry, God, but priorities.
Right.
Like, figure your shit out.
Yeah.
You're an all-powerful being, and you are worried about all the wrong things.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. When they had accomplished these things and had made a common supplication, they implored the merciful Lord to be wholly reconciled with his servants. Having had an encounter with the forces of Timotheus and Bacchides, they killed more than 20,000 of them and made themselves masters of the universe. Just kidding. Masters of exceedingly high strongholds and divided very much plunder, giving the maimed, orphans, widows, and the aged an equal share with themselves.
Did it really say very much plunder?
Divided very much plunder.
Plunder. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Very much.
Okay.
You know how much?
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a count.
This feels, whatever.
It sounds a lot like et cetera and so forth and so on and what have you and anyways.
Yeah.
Right?
That sentence was very much.
Yeah. When they had gathered the weapons of the enemy together, they stored them all up carefully in the most strategic positions, and they carried the rest of the spoils to Jerusalem. They killed the phylarch of, I don't know what that word means. I will be looking that word up.
Right.
I need to know because it looks really suave. It's phylarch with a PH at the beginning.
Yeah.
And with a CH at the end.
Okay.
I mean, that.
Yeah, that sounds important.
That is a very suave word.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very cool looking word. Okay. They killed the phylarch of Timotheus's forces, a most unholy man, and one who had done the Jews much harm.
Mm, okay.
As they celebrated the feast of victory in the city of their fathers, they burned those who had set the sacred gates on fire, including Callisthenes, who had fled into a little house.
Burned them alive? That seems a little...
We don't mind when they kill people and maim them and have slaves and rape women. We don't mind that at all. These are people who actually have stood in the blood of their victims and dashed babies against rocks.
I guess I just feel like at some level, like God is not like wouldn't support, you know, glorifying death. You know, like I feel like that should be a thing. Not our
Yahweh. This nobody has ever said Yahweh is a loving God.
Right. Well, I mean, some people say that, but I don't agree.
Most Christians say, no, he's an angry God. He's a jealous God. He is not a loving God.
Right.
Jesus is the lover. Yeah,
Jesus is the guy.
Jesus is just all right with me because he's the lover, not the fighter.
That's what I hear.
This Yahweh, though.
Right.
He got the big guns.
He's a dick.
He is a dick. He's a piece of shit. So they receive the proper reward for their impiety.
Burning. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
The thrice accursed Nicanor.
Thrice accursed, huh? Wow.
Thrice accursed is the name of my next band. I need a shirt, actually, that says thrice accursed Nicanor.
Next band and a shirt. Damn.
I mean, think about it. That is so thrice accursed Nicanor.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The thrice accursed Nicanor, who had brought the 1,000 merchants to buy the Jews as slaves, being through the help of the Lord humbled by them who in his eyes were held to be of least account, took off his glorious apparel and passing through the country, shunning all company like a fugitive slave, arrived at Antioch, having, as he thought, had the greatest possible good fortune, though his army was destroyed.
So he just ran. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm not going to take off all my shit and I'm running home.
And he stripped down and was like, what? Me? I'm not no Nicanor. What the fuck are you talking about? My name is Peter. I am Peter Tower. Peter Towers. And I make lamps.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Who is this man, Nicanor?
In those days, it would be pretty easy to disappear.
Right?
You know?
Right? I'd be like, Nicanor. It's not like
you can get on Facebook and look somebody up or something.
You know, Nicanor is thrice accursed.
Right.
Do I look like a man who is thrice accursed? Yeah. So he threw his glorious apparel off and he ran through the country.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? He who had taken upon himself to make tribute sure for the Romans by the captivity of the men of Jerusalem published abroad that the Jews had one, capital O, who fought for them.
You
know.
God. Yeah.
That Yahweh guy.
Right.
And that because this was so, the Jews were invulnerable because they followed the laws ordained by him. The end.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's how that works. Yeah. You don't believe in the God, but you run back and you're like, my God, these guys fight for this God guy. And because of that, they're invulnerable.
Right.
And they just can't fucking lose because of their God, not because they had better battle plans, not because, you know, they know their area better than this guy or anything like that.
They're inspired to protect their own.
Right.
They have this like crazy fanatical belief in what they believe in.
I'm pretty sure it was Judas Maccabeus' people that was like chasing them through the whatever. And that wasn't God chasing them. It was people chasing other people. Yeah,
it wasn't lions either.
Yeah,
bears.
If you believe in other entities or don't believe in anything at all, why would you suddenly be like, their God is amazing?
Listen, if I believe in a God and I'm losing, I'm not going to be like, your God is so awesome. I'm going to be like, my God sucks. I don't believe in God anymore.
Yeah, I'd be like, that my God's not doing
the job. I'm not gonna praise your God. I'm gonna cuss mine.
Or like the Israelites do. Like, you know, you would be like, I'm not worthy enough right now, so you're punishing me.
Yes.
You don't ever place it on the fact that the other God is greater.
Yes, that's what
it's
I'm
always
saying.
That your God didn't. You didn't appease your God enough.
Either whatever. You suck or your God sucks. You're worried about you and your God. You're not thinking about them and their God.
Right. I want to see like one historical piece of paper where a person literally actually wrote that this other person's God was
great. God is so
I don't believe that actually happened.
That didn't actually happen. Right. I can guarantee bullshit. You that didn't happen because that's not how humans work.
Right.
And moreover, an atheist doesn't be like, oh, wow, I'm dying. Oh, I believe totally in that God now. No. Look at that God.
There's accounts of that. But here's the thing. I don't believe that they were actually atheists. I believe they were like the
they
like
might believe,
not giving a shit
okay,
type.
listen. They might believe in a God and be begging their God that they heard about from when they were kids. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to suddenly believe in somebody else's God and be like, you're right. I totally believe in your God with all my heart because I'm about to die.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
No, you don't reach out to Zeus or something.
You know? No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You might like suddenly be an atheist in a foxhole believing in your own God.
Sure.
I mean,
what is your own God if you're an atheist?
The God of your people. The God of
your hair. The way you grew up.
Yeah.
The God, whatever.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like you might suddenly find it within you, man, I should have went to church with mom more, you know, whatever.
Guess. I don't think that would ever happen to me, but
you know. No, it wouldn't happen to me either. I'm just saying like I can see that happening for some atheists, right? Some agnostics, for some people who are like actually in imminent death and they're like, well, shit. But I don't see them just like switching teams.
Right.
Not only are they overcoming their own disbelief in any God whatsoever, but they're going to go so far as to pick a random one and the one that's killing them to suddenly like, I do believe in fairies. You know, like what?
Again, I feel like the ones that do switch, quote unquote, switch up at the end, I don't feel like they were that stringent. Like they didn't really. They didn't read enough, like, you know.
They weren't hard atheists. They were just bored. No, wait. That's what Ferris Bueller said to Cameron. Well, hold on.
There's a lot of people that believe in, like, Pascal's Wager is a thing, right?
Yeah. And so they live their life, and then they get on their deathbed, and they're like, oh, I've lived a long life. I'm probably going to die soon. I guess I should probably get with God real quick.
There's reasons that that doesn't work out, because there's so many different gods in this planet that people believe in. But that aside, sometimes does happen where someone's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna go ahead and say the things and do the stuff because why not, might as well.
I'm about to die,
hedge my bet here. Sure. You know, so
it, which that whole thing, like that whole strategic move, like, yeah, because God is so stupid, he knows everything except for like your own fucking heart.
Right.
Like, yeah, well, you're going to pull the wool over that God's eye that you just decided to believe in.
Well, he's such a stupid butt. There's a lot of things that say that if you just repent and accept God as your savior, that you're good.
Yeah, but you don't. That's not how belief works, though. You don't just be like, and I believe now. You could say it. You could go through the motions. But if you don't believe it, you don't fucking believe it.
Right. No, I know.
You don't just like be like, you know what? Fine. The earth is flat.
Again, there's so many reasons why Pascal's Wager is not correct or doesn't work out.
It's so disrespectful to whatever God you're pretending to believe in.
Yeah.
It's so foolish. It's so silly.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. God is all powerful, but he doesn't know that you're just trying to like hedge your bets and get one over on him. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was 2 Maccabees chapter 8.
Sure as fuck was.
And next time we will be back with
2 Maccadoodles chapter 9.
So see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.